Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production, now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Feel Good Podcast with Kimberly Snyder. My goal is to help you develop a holistic lifestyle based on our four cornerstone philosophy: food, body, emotional well-being, and spiritual growth. This holistic approach will help you feel good, which I define as being connected to your most authentic, highest self. And this is the place from which your energy, confidence, creativity, true power, and true beauty will start to explode. Every week, we provide you with interviews from top experts in their field or a solo cast from yours truly to support you in living your most beautiful, healthy, and joyful life. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, founder of Saluna, New York Times bestselling author, and holistic wellness, nutrition, and meditation teacher. Let's get started. Hi, beauties, and welcome back to our Monday interview podcast today, where I have a particularly special show to share with you today. And I think all of our guests, of course, are amazing and have tons of wisdom to share. But who I have today is someone who has played a pivotal role in my life and in my growth. And I am so excited to share him with you in this collective conversation. We are featuring today Brother Satchidananda, who is a monk at the Self-Realization Fellowship, which is Paramahansa Yogananda's organization, which is dedicated to disseminating Kriya Yoga and effective meditation and teaching us how to align to the true self, to self-realize who we really are beyond this, you know, physical structure. And it is these very teachings that have inspired my new book, You Are More Than You Think You Are: Practical Enlightenment for Everyday Life. Brother Satchidananda is the monk that I talk about in the fearlessness chapter, for those of you that have pre-ordered the book and have started to read the first few chapters, which are available to you when you do that. He is the monk that I met with when I was at the lowest point in my life, when my mother had passed and I had gone through my big breakup and I was a single mom. And he had some pretty specific advice for me then. And it made a world of difference in my life. I've also been meeting with him periodically for at least, I think, 8 years now. And he's guided me in so many different ways. He's also the person, the beautiful soul that married John and I. So he was present at our wedding and he did the vows and the whole ceremony, and it was incredible. And when I was ready to come out of my hole, my self-imposed isolation period after my breakup, and I was starting to come out into the world, he also had some interesting advice about finding a soulmate, which we will also talk about in today's show. I love Brother Satchidananda very much, and I love the wisdom and the clarity with which he shares about true yoga science. And you know, this conversation is part of this book that I'm so excited to put out, and about these teachings, which I know in my heart and soul will help you the most in your life. They can have the biggest impact, and they have definitely had the biggest impact on my life in all areas: my body, my energy, my food choices, my manifesting abilities, my creativity, my abundance, my love, everything. So I cannot wait to share the interview with you today. But before we dive in, I'm going to give a shout out here to our fan of the week, and his or her name is Lama Drama. And here she writes, "I feel good. Kimberly has been a joy to follow over the years. I enjoy listening to her and her guests discuss health and wellness. If you have not read her books, definitely give them a read, as they are great too." Lama Drama, thank you so much, my love, for taking the time to write your review and for being our fan of the week. I send you so much love and so much gratitude and appreciation. It really means the world to me to hear this, you know, feedback, to hear the reviews, because sometimes, you know, we're over here just, you know, speaking and putting things out. And when there's that energy coming back in, it really does help energize the show and keep it going, and also help other beauties like you listening to this right now find the show. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much in advance for leaving us a review. If you screenshot your review and email it to us at reviews@myselina.com, we will also send you our 7 self-love affirmation series, which is a little mini program with talks and affirmations that will help you start to reprogram some negative beliefs that may be holding you back. I encourage you to also subscribe to our show, and that way you don't miss out on any of these amazing interviews or our Thursday Q&A podcasts, which are questions that come right from the community. And finally, I will encourage you to head over to myselina.com right away, or as my friend says, run, don't walk, to pre-order the book today. You Are More Than You Think You Are. As I mentioned, you will be able to start reading some of the chapters today. You will get into our live looped event where there will be a live meditation and Q&A. And also, you will have the opportunity to get our free Beyond Fear course, which is a wonderful course with videos and practices and journaling exercises and so on. So, all that being said, I am enormously honored and so excited to introduce you to the wonderful Brother Satyadananda. Wow. Well, brother, when we decided to do this podcast, I didn't realize we were able to do it in this sanctuary, which has been a personal sanctuary for me for over 10 years. Now I've been coming here to LA to Lake Shrine. So thank you for coming on and for allowing us to be in this very sacred space right here where we are having our conversation. This is amazing.
A lot of people have meditated deeply in this space, and sacred vibrations are generated. And when people walk in and they're just casual visitors, they enter into this space and then they just stop.
Yes.
And they're so quiet, and you can tell that they're feeling the shift.
Yes.
And it can be quite profound.
Mm. So, brother, you and I have a very special relationship. You've been with me through many times in my life. I remember, you know, we just had Emerson, my son, come out of the car. And I remember I was pregnant the first time and you were giving a blessing to my belly. So now this is over 5 years ago. And you also married my husband and I, John. We had this very amazing wedding where you came and we released doves. Do you remember that? And it was just such a special day. And also, there was a really dark time, one of the rock bottom places in my life where you were there for me that I describe in the new book, You Are More Than You Think You Are, right at the beginning, the fearlessness chapter, which I wanted to talk about first because I think that, you know, one of the biggest blocks to all of our lives is this fear. And I came to you, brother, when I was, you know, lost, and I, you know, never, we don't know how our lives are going to turn out, but I definitely didn't think that I was going to become a single mom. And I knew I couldn't stay in that relationship. So I moved out with Emerson, who was just over 18 months old. And I came to you, brother, and you were such a pillar for me. And you said, and I followed your advice to a T, you said, treat your home like an ashram for 5 months. That literally seeped into, you know, my brain, my consciousness, and go deep. And that's exactly what I did. I started reading the scriptures. I went deep into my practice and it completely transformed my life. So this to you before, but thank you so much. And now you've read the book, so you can see that I also share that story with all the readers. But that time of stillness, you know, sometimes we think, you know, we're going to this rock bottom place. We're trying to find things and do more to fix things. But sometimes it's really just stillness that helps us rise up. And that's not always the go-to solution.
No, it's not. It seems counterintuitive. We want to think we have to work hard and do this and keep busy in order to process and work through things. But I found that if we create an interlude and we just kind of sit with ourselves and actually start to discover more about ourselves within, a crisis can be a wonderful motivator for us to go within and really discover some things that are just waiting for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really very proud of you, Kimberly, for, you know, taking time to really discover that part of yourself at a time when, you know, you felt kind of adrift.
Yeah.
And now the results come in and you can see how productive it can be.
Amazing. I look at my life now to when, that conversation we had, I remember we were in that little gazebo out there and I just, oh my gosh, my life is not going how I want it to go. And now I think about the relationship I'm in now and all that I've, been able to create since that place that feels so aligned with my heart. And now Moses is here, another child, and this love and, this new book, which I'm so passionate about sharing. So, it really was a big moment to really tap into the inside.
Well, I want to compliment you. You're so much stronger now than when I first met you. It's, very pronounced, your strength that comes from within.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, you've really grown in personal strength. And I admire that.
Thank you so much.
And I love the title of your book.
Thank you. So I want to talk about Yogananda for a moment, because these teachings that I share about in the new book are the ones that have really had the biggest impact on my life. And I discovered Guruji Yogananda in India. I was backpacking, as I describe in the book, and I happened to read some of his books in a small bookshop in Rishikesh. And in the beginning, brother, I was a bit confused because I thought, I was raised Catholic and I went to church. So is this, Hinduism, or does this mean like I'm following a different religion? Or I was just confused at first. And as I got deeper and deeper, I realized the message that Yogananda was talking about was oneness and, this universality between all different creeds, all different faiths, people of all different parts of the world, this ability to tap into this higher creative intelligence source, whatever word we want to use, and it really applies to everyone. So I'd love for you to explain a little bit more about that, brother, because again, I'm sure there's people thinking, well, I'm Christian, or I am agnostic, or I am, Jewish or Muslim or Hindu, whatever it is. Does this apply to me? Is this religion when you're talking about spirituality? What's the difference?
There's a beautiful Sanskrit term from ancient times, ancient Vedic times in India. It's Sanatan Dharma. Mm. We've all heard the word Dharma, and we know that Dharma is righteous action. But Sanatan Dharma specifically is the eternal religion. And it's based on self-discovery and personal experience. So it's not just being part of a church or part of a congregation or being baptized into a faith. It is an actual process of personal discovery and inner realization. And this forms the foundation of what true religion, Paramahansa Yogananda says, true religion should be. It's about being able to experience something beyond ourselves, something that brings us joy, brings us happiness, brings us strength. And so that is really the foundation of Self-Realization Fellowship, is Sanatan Dharma, that is eternal religion, eternal truth. So it's something that forms a universal foundation.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing is that you can experience it no matter what stage of life you're in, whatever religion you grew up in. So here at Lake Shrine, we're in the sanctuary of Lake Shrine Temple, and every Sunday we have people from all faith traditions.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have Zoroastrians, we have Jews, we have Hindus, we have Christians, and all the denominations.
Yes.
And people come in and we meditate together, and they walk out saying, that was a wonderful experience.
Exactly. And also walking around the lake too, brother, we see, statues of Jesus and Buddha and all the different religions. And there's, the court, which has the section for Muslims and Jews and all of that. So for me, when I found these teachings, it really touched me because, the way I grew up, there was a lot of ceremony. Like we, get in the car together as a family and we go to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then, we do things. But for me, I didn't have that experience. There's that word again of really tuning back in, connecting in. Mm-hmm. And when I started to learn how to meditate, I realized that my heart was growing. I was feeling more mm-hmm. love. I was feeling more peace. Mm-hmm. I was feeling more compassion in this very effective way that, you know, Yogananda teaches, which is really the basis and the inspiration for everything I talk about and what we call our practical enlightenment meditations, which is this, you know, accessible, simple way of tuning in. It really started to change my day-to-day experience. Mm-hmm. And I also realized, brother, that, you know, some of the words we get tripped up on, whether you want to say source or universe mm-hmm. or God, like, goes beyond the semantics, all the words. It just mm-hmm. becomes this, I keep saying experience, it becomes this knowing.
Yes.
It becomes something. And when I started to experience this, I said, I got to share this with people because I think this is really what's missing mm-hmm. in our lives. Reason people struggle so much. This is what true wellness is. You know, we live in this world where people are trying to define wellness and chase it. And so much of it's on the external. What did I eat today? How fit am I? That's part of taking care of the bodily temple. But there is this inner connection. For me, my relationship with food profoundly healed when I had this connection because I didn't have as much stress. I wasn't in my head as much. I was more in my intuition. And so it's something that I wish, you know, for everyone to have access to.
I think people more and more now are conscious of being on a journey and walking through life on a journey. And the beautiful thing with Paramahansa Yogananda's teachings is he defines our spirituality as a path.
Mm.
A path that we walk. And it's something that we do every day, like you're just describing. It's not something that you just go for a ceremony. Maybe you feel something sacred or special for a few minutes, and then life back as usual. This is a path. And so people are always asking, well, I want to be more spiritual. I want to discover more within myself. But what do I do, and how do I approach it? And so the magic here is in the path.
Mm-hmm.
And Yogananda really defines a path for us and says, you know, look, this is a path that's universal. It's based mm-hmm. on the Sanatana Dharma. And if you begin walking it with sincerity, no matter who you are, you will start to discover things that are really totally amazing about yourself. So, you know, the title of your book, you're really more than more than you think you are. And so walking the path is actually multidimensional. And that's something I think that excites you personally because
yes.
it embraces all of your self-improvement efforts. So, you know, how to have a good attitude and how to feel good about yourself, how to have a good diet and be physically well, and how to get along with other people in a healthy way. So walking the a spiritual path is really multidimensional, and it services all those objectives, and then it offers more. And it says, there is a greater goal here. And if you set your sights on this greater goal, then all the happiness that you've been seeking in other ways will be achieved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think the funny thing is, brother, we often try to control or manipulate the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to get stuff, you know, in the love chapter, I talk about, you know, we're always trying to get love, whether it's, you know, with social media validation or, you know, compliments or getting some, you know, attention or whatever it is versus really connecting on the inside and letting that shape the outside. And that's something that has, you know, profoundly changed my life. And the funny thing is, you know, the story described at the beginning when I went backpacking for 3 years and I found Yogananda, I would say about halfway through or, you know, 2/3 of the way through. And then I came back, I was starting to read the books. I came back and I was going deeper and I didn't have any money when I came back. And I was, you know, just trying to figure out my life, but I was using these methods for honing my concentration, my will, what Yogananda talks about, dynamic will, and tapping into my creativity. And I was starting to, you know, I didn't have much to show on the outside, but from the inside, tapping into that, I was able to create this free blog and I was teaching yoga and I was going back to nutrition school and I was just, patterns were coming and things were shifting. And then before I knew it, it was like I stepped into this river, this flow, and there wasn't this pushing, you know, but I was, you know, people were starting to find out about stuff and then I started getting book deals. So the funny part of the story is my first book proposal was for a book that I was going to call Catching the Fire. And it was a travel memoir. And it was talking about some of these teachings, which had profoundly impacted my life. And my first my first publishing house was HarperCollins. And my first editor, Sarah, looked at my website, my free blog at the time. And she said, oh, she's like, this food stuff is really like popular right here. She goes, why don't we do a food book first, and then we'll do this book second. And so the funny thing is that book went on to, it was The Beauty Detox Solution, which was my first book, which just took off. And then the second book became a food book, and suddenly that became the focus. And so here I am 6 books later, and now I'm so honored to share. You know, people always ask, well, how did you get started, and how are you able to create all this? And I'm like, here's my playbook. This is what has been from the beginning to now, everything that has helped me create everything. And so, sometimes, you know, it's the timing of things. I feel like I'm in a place now where I've gone deeper and deeper into the teachings. I've had some hard times, as I describe in the book, brother, you've always been there for me. When my mom passed, I had that big breakup. But I can say that from my heart, you know, this is really what I know can help people's lives the most.
Well, it takes time for these inner perceptions to reach a level of full understanding, to reach kind of a critical mass where they're ready for expression.
Yes.
And I think, you know, the timing is what it is, and it's the best that it can be. So now you're ripe and ready to not only live, but share what you live. It can be truly authentic.
That's right. And it's a living experience, you know. It's just really, I can share the stories. I can share all the ways that it's, you know, affected my romantic relationships and my career and my relationship with my children. It really runs through. It's not like, you know, here's one part of my life. It's kind of the lens of your whole life.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a great need right now, especially for people to connect their story with the higher truth.
Yes.
I talk with a lot of people, and we have kind of private conversations, and I hear some things that they don't normally express. And people just have this driving need to connect their story with a higher truth. And when you see that connection happening, there's a great deal of excitement, and all of a sudden there's new possibilities.
Yes.
And so I personally love having these kinds of amazing conversations where a person, as you can tell, they're kind of searching hit and miss, and then all of a sudden you're able to, you know, connect their immediate need with a higher purpose, and then they're just ready to take off. So it's exciting to see.
And one of the things that I feel, you know, really helped reframe my whole life was, you know, this, you use the word higher,
you know, truth.
Higher truth, brother. And also for me, the expansiveness. And there's a quote that, you know, Guruji says, where he says, you know, life should be chiefly service. So I feel like for me, when I started really expanding out of this little me, out of this ego into, you know, it's always been the guiding light from the beginning. One of the patterns I set from the beginning was, what can I share that will help people? What is going to help versus me, me, me? Everything just started to expand. We start to reorient our whole lives.
That's
and
right.
It makes everything flow. It sounds simple, but sometimes we think, oh, over here, I'm going to do some, you know, charity work. And then over here, like, what's in it for me? No, like your whole way of looking at things, whether you work at, you know, a dental clinic or Starbucks, or you're a lifeguard or a doctor or librarian, whatever it is, we can bring that idea of service into everything we do. And that is a huge game changer with energy.
It is. It makes greater meaning. We discover meaning within ourselves, and then we share that meaning with others. And we actually are improving our environment. We're improving our relationships. We are surrounded by greater meaning and purpose, and it's so much more satisfying, especially when we can feel that happiness that it brings, a sense of fulfillment and happiness of helping others, and of feeling ourselves as a channel. Like Yogananda says, the channel is blessed by what flows through. And so when we make a dedication to being a channel for, you know, a higher purpose, then it not only fulfills the need in our hearts for love, for intimacy, for connection, but it also shares that with others. And then our life becomes like a center of an orbit on a higher level.
Yes, exactly. So I want to ask another question, brother, and then we're going to get a little bit specific because you've always been there for me with specific situations. And I think that, you know, I really want, what I want to come across is how applicable these teachings are for modern life, as I try to demonstrate in the book. So one thing for me that was which is a huge, like, again, another game changer because I didn't grow up thinking this way, is the true self. So I've been using this term now and bringing it out in social media. I talk about it through the book. And, you know, I didn't really, I didn't have this concept growing up that there's this pseudo self, so to speak, the ego, this shell out here that we put so much of our worth in and our identity in. And then there's the true self, which is our intuition, which is the heart, which is beyond the thinking mind. It's the stable part of us. No, the soul. There's so many different ways. We'd probably write a whole book just on what the true self is. But can you explain a little bit, brother, you know, the true self? And of course, meditation is about deepening our connection with the true self. But, you know, in your own words about it and, you know, how Guruji described it and also how we can start to discern when we're really connecting more with the true self.
Yeah, this is a very profound question. And it really is at the heart of our own self-discovery and our personal growth, because the ancient scriptures from India especially teach that there is a spiritual self that is the essence and resource for our state of being, and that this spiritual self is immortal. The body may die, but the spiritual self is immortal. It lives on. And the spiritual self is pure, it's beautiful, it's whole, and it's always with us. We are expressing through the world, we are receiving through the senses, and we are processing that experience through the cognitive mind, and then we are identifying ourselves with the physical body that's having these physical experiences. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. We might feel love from someone and rejection from someone else. So we're constantly vacillating mm-hmm. between these dualistic experiences, and we form our own interpretations based on this limited knowledge. But if we start to go within into a stillness and a quietness of meditation, Paramahansa Yogananda talks about this stillness beyond the mind, where we're not processing with the cognitive mind. Mm. We're actually starting to perceive and experience directly. And this is where intuition comes in, mm-hmm. that we have this faculty that we have not developed, that is capable of being able to perceive things that are not processed through the senses and the mind. We've all had an experience of a creative work that we're doing, and we're kind of contemplating the problem from different sides and trying to understand, how am I going to resolve this? And we've been thinking and thinking and just not coming up with any solutions. And then in a moment of relaxation,
yes.
All of a sudden, it's like, aha, wow, that just was kind of like downloaded.
Download, that's what I say.
Yeah, it's in your book. And it is a download, and it's a complete download. It's like you get all aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody has to talk to you about it. Nobody has to describe it to you. You know it.
You know it. It's a knowing.
You know it.
Yes.
And that is the higher self. Mm-hmm. That's the intuitive self. That's the spiritual self. And Paramahansa Yogananda beautifully says that we're only using a small fraction of our total potential.
Totally.
And if we can start to tap into this greater potential, we're gathering so much more knowledge about who we are. And the process called self-realization, because that's Yogananda's coined term, is self-realization, is really all about shifting our identification. So we are now identified with the body, the human drama, our head drama.
Doing all day.
It's like, this is me.
Right.
This is me. And sometimes this is good and sometimes it's not. And so we're always kind of fluctuating back and forth.
Up and down.
Oh, it's exhausting.
People like this post. Oh, people left a mean comment or whatever it is.
I got compliments on this and then now people are criticizing me, you know. And so your emotions are constantly reacting to the drama. But if we can start to identify with our spiritual self, our higher self, this is so much more stable.
Yes.
And the stability alone is profound because we're so used to the instability of our worldly experience with our body identified self that we don't know any difference. We're used to insecurity.
Yes.
We become accustomed to insecurity.
I know. It's like we're always living in this discomfort, such little peace in our day-to-day lives, such little joy, and we think, oh, this is normal. I thought it was normal growing up, brother.
Well, life is threatening.
Yes, I mean, you know, everything out here is like what people think of you. Am I cool enough? Am I skinny enough?
You have a friend, and all of a sudden, they're in the hospital.
Right.
I mean, it's something happened just like that, and they didn't expect it. You didn't expect it. It's like, you know, that's threatening. Because what could happen to me next? We don't know. So this world actually is very unstable and threatening in its own way. I always forgive people for their insecurities because this is a profoundly insecure world. But there is a solution. There is a path. And we can start to connect with a higher self that resolves all these instabilities. Because if you know yourself in this higher way, you start to identify with yourself in this higher way, this intuitive self, the self that is able to feel love that comes from within, not love that's dependent on different objects, then all of a sudden you realize who you really are and you see that there's a greater potential there.
Mm.
So this is the product of the path. It's the product of walking the path and keeping ourselves aligned with this higher truth. It actually resolves a lot of our mortal dilemmas that terrify us.
Hey, beauties. I want to share one of the biggest secrets for health and wellness and energy and maintaining a slim, lean body is to consistently clean out excess waste from your body. It's not just what you're putting in, but making sure that you are releasing as much as possible from your GI tract, from your body, things that can stagnate, old waste, old toxins that can clog your body and make your goals, your wellness and beauty goals, much harder to achieve. So I have a product for you. It's called Detoxy. It's really amazing. It's basically nasal oxygen paired with ASC2P, which is the stable form of vitamin C that in clinical research has been shown to help prevent the very, very root cause of aging, which is the shortening of telomeres, which creates chromosomal damage in your DNA. So it's helpful in that regard. And it also just cleans out your system. It's amazing. It's not a laxative. It's not habit forming. But you take it in the evening and you'll find the right capsule amount for you. It could be one, it could be four or five. I personally take four. You take it before bed and in the morning you release more, so to speak. So it's really wonderful. It's really impactful. It will help you feel lighter and all the benefits of cleansing your system, better skin, more energy. So you can check it out over at mysaluna.com. It's called Feel Good Detoxy. And you can also use the code wellness15 for 15% off all supplements and skincare, including our Detoxy. Again, wellness15 for 15% off. Let's get into some specifics, brother, because I think this is so powerful what you're saying. So for me, for instance, when we were, you know, we continued to meet periodically and I was going through resetting after my big breakup. And then, you know, I was just going along and I wasn't searching for anyone else. You know, I was just like so connecting to the love inside of me and really taking care of Emerson, who is, you know, now at this point about 2.5. And I remember you said something to me, which was really interesting, which I hadn't heard before. You said something like, you know, your soulmate is never too far out of the circle. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. So I was just kind of going along my life. And
yeah, in your orbit, I think that's
yes, in my orbit.
Yeah,
And so I was really, you know, living. And then I happened to meet John, current husband, you know, that you married us, in a dinner party. And there wasn't this, you know, this pushing and this grasping. And, you know, I personally had never been on any dating apps. It just sort of was in that flow. So can you talk a little bit, brother, about, you know, this connection? And for anyone out there that's looking for, you know, love, whether it's in deeper friendships or in a partnership, a spouse, a soulmate relationship, whatever it is, how this helps that?
Well, there's what Paramahansa Yogananda calls a cosmic law of magnetism.
Mm-hmm.
And we are always radiating a magnetic energy, mm-hmm, that is attracting things to us. It attracts people. It attracts events. It attracts environments. So we gradually build an environment around us that, if we're not conscious of it, we're still attracting it. And so if we're walking a path and we're engaged in a meditative practice and we are lifting our thoughts up to a higher level, gradually we are changing that magnetic energy and we begin to actually attract a new quality.
Yes.
In life around us. And so I'm always advising people who are interested in attracting a soulmate, you might call it, or a true love. I'm always saying, start working on yourself first. And that was actually one of the foundations of the advice I gave you when you were in between relationships. It's like,
don't even worry about it.
You know, Kimberly, if you just kind of jump right into another relationship, it's going to probably be the same thing. But if you take an interlude,
yes,
and you work on yourself, what you're actually doing is not only healing, but you're generating a new energy that's going to attract somebody that's already kind of in the peripheral of your orbit. And not only are you going to attract them, but you're going to recognize them.
Exactly.
Yeah. They can be there, and you don't see them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And oh my God, they've been there all this time, and I wasn't attracted to them, and now suddenly I realize who they are.
Or in my case, brother, when, you know, John, on a physical level, he, you know, wasn't exactly my type, you know, just big bearded guy covered in tattoos, but I felt, again, out of the thinking mind, yeah, I could feel his heart.
His heart.
It was the recognition that
he had the ability to really love you for who you are.
Yes.
And you sense that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is a beautiful thing. So if we are taking time to, you know, live in this way, it's really kind of a lifestyle that we adopt. And it does generate an energy that starts to attract on a higher level.
And there is absolute truth in this. And I, you know, I write about this in the book. And there's also scientific research that supports this idea of frequency. There's a lot in quantum physics, and then they see, you know, synchronicity rising out of the chaos of nature, like things like fireflies starting to go off at the same time. You know, one thing, brother, is, you know, unfortunately, there's been some things that have come out, like, you know, the Secret. I don't know if you heard of this book.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where it kind of, you know, was this, it takes a little bit of that idea, but then it's like, oh, like, think this. My dad used to, you know, he saw the movie and it was like, I want this bike. And then the door opens and a bike is there. So it kind of oversimplified it. And then some people were like, oh, that's BS. But the truth is there is this, you know, higher truth to it. But sometimes in the West, they take ideas and they make, you know, movies or popular books out of it, and it butchers the
truth
of it.
Well, you materialize.
Yes.
I mean, you make it
so
material.
So unfortunate.
Yeah, and you want to satisfy people's desires. But, I mean, and actually the law works in that way too.
Right.
So people, you know, if they say, I really want, you know, the right apartment for the right rent and the right neighborhood and so forth, I, you know, tell them, start concentrating on, you know, what it is you want and become receptive to it. But that's only a very limited level. We want to kind of strive for a higher level. But it serves all dimensions.
So when you say strive for a higher level, it's when we are tuned in, it becomes less specific,
because we're in our search for happiness.
Right, right. So, oh, if you're putting our happiness in that apartment.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, take a cosmic law or a spiritual concept and put it to work for satisfying a material you know, desire is very limited objective. If you can start to realize that, you know, that kind of happiness comes and goes quickly. It's like you buy a new car and the guy with the new Ferrari, he's happy with his new Ferrari for about 2 weeks. And then,
yeah,
you know, it's just the same old car. And if we're seeking on a higher level for happiness, and we start to realize that, you know, I was having a moment of inspiration the other day, and that inspiration actually gave me a happiness that lasted for several days. I want more of that. Mm-hmm. And these are the kind of people often that are coming to Lake Shrine. They've had a moment of inspiration that really reset them. Mm. And they said, this is not ordinary happiness. This is something I want and I haven't had before. And then they come and they ask me, how do I get more of this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I smile and say, you've come to the right place.
Let's talk about abundance for a moment, brother, because along those lines, there's a quote from Lahiri Mahashaya, an autobiography of a yogi that I quote in the book, and I'm paraphrasing it here a bit, but it's something along the lines of outer treasure is always forthcoming if inner treasure is found. So I've experienced that personally and expanding my definition of abundance. I know what it's like to be broke and, mm-hmm. you know, struggling month to month to pay my rent. And when I found this fullness mm-hmm. in each moment, not mm-hmm. just, you know, financially and about money, but just this, can't even describe it, just this presence, this fullness, the heart energy, this mm-hmm. joy, I felt just full, abundant in joy. Mm-hmm. And then without over pushing, I found myself to be in more prosperity financially as well, even though there wasn't this, you know, over focus or obsession about it. So in a way, you know, and Guruji talks about this too, the outside world tends to, you know, it's not as yeah. much pushing when we're aligned on the inside.
It has a very, our world, our modern world especially, has a very narrow definition of success.
Yes.
And everybody is kind of measuring themselves against that very narrow definition. But actually, we do ourselves great justice, greater justice, if we expand that definition and say, no, very honestly, happiness has to be included with my definition of success or prosperity. And so here, Paramahansaji teaches a broad balanced life. That is, you have these different departments of your life, and you want to kind of move them forward in a concertive way so that you're not overly engaged in business and sacrificing, you know, your loved ones, or you're not seeking holiday experiences while you're neglecting your spiritual life. So we're always trying to kind of move ourselves forward on the path in a balanced way. And as we do this, we find that it's an expansive experience. And that becomes a new definition of prosperity for us. It attracts, you know, monetary rewards, but even greater, it starts to draw other forms of happiness that give us strength and give us endurance.
Yes.
One of the most satisfying tributes that I hear to this particular path is when someone is in a real crisis, and say they're in a family crisis, maybe a death of a loved one, everyone in their family is falling apart. And they come to me and they say, I'm the only one in my family that is not, you know, in despair right now. Is something wrong with me?
Right.
And I say, no. I mean, what you think is wrong with you is what's special about you.
Mm.
You've been building your spiritual strength, and you've been building your life and your values on a higher truth, and now, you know, you're seeing the results.
Mm.
You have the strength that others don't have, but now's your time to give. So here's how you can give to your loved ones. But it's really quite profound.
Mm.
And I was just talking with a woman last night, and she said, you know, brother, you don't have to, you know, she lost her husband on Saturday.
Mm.
And she said, you don't have to feel sorry for me or give consolation. She said, I was able to feel my own inspiration with God at the time of my husband's passing,
Wow.
And it actually was a glorious experience. Mm. I miss him, and I'm grieving because I miss him, but I'm not in despair over it. I feel strong.
Mm.
Isn't that sweet?
Mm.
That's the proof, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think about when I lost my mom, which was really sudden, and I was the one that was the anchor. My dad was not mm-hmm. able to really handle things. So I had Emerson, who wasn't yet a year old. And then, you know, I was the one talking to the doctors and holding him and figuring things out. And he just mentally, he just kind of had to check out sometimes. And I don't fault him for it. I just think that's where he was. But I remember I was able to hold her. She took her last breath. And I didn't feel what I thought I was going to feel, which was despair. I felt this transition.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a lot of, you know, peace.
Yeah.
And I felt expansion of love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that I don't miss her, because I do miss her, and I still cry about it sometimes, you know.
But there's a beauty to it also.
There is a deep beauty.
And the love is still there.
Oh, yeah.
It's not lost in the sorrow.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's a very beautiful personal testimony. And I think that, you know, oftentimes people don't consider these things. And then it shocks them when they go into it unprepared. But if we are walking a path and we're starting to discover an inner connection with our higher self, these are the kinds of things that unfold.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be very rewarding. Because we find that as we get to know our higher self, we find that this is really me.
Mm,
this is really me. Mm-hmm. It's not something different. It's like so familiar. It's so wonderfully familiar. And it's like, this is what I always wanted to be, and I didn't know I was.
And it's always with me.
Yeah.
I don't have to, you know, make sure my best friend is there to call, or I don't have to...
I don't have to be validated.
Yes.
I have that inner validation. And that's a very satisfying thing, because as far as, you know, my activity as a minister, it's very satisfying for me to see a woman who has a certain autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
I like the word autonomy, because there's a certain, let's say, mental and emotional self-sufficiency. And I see that a lot on this path.
Mm-hmm.
Paramahansa Yogananda, where women in particular are achieving a certain personal autonomy, and they start to express it, and it's actually glorious. I was just talking with a woman professional the other day, and I said, you know, you've been so amazing lately, really amazing. I just want to tell you how amazing you are, because I see that, you know, you're working in this way that's just, you know, so creative, and at the same time, so, you know, productive in addressing the needs in your profession. So I see this kind of personal growth. And like I told you before we started the podcast, I've been amazed at your personal strength, because you're stronger now than you were before. So there's very real, tangible rewards.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that we just sort of think about and wish for and read about. And
no, it's practical.
Yeah,
and that's why I wanted the subtitle to be practical enlightenment, awareness, awakening in everyday life, because it is for all these things that we're striving for mm-hmm. and our goals. So along those lines, brother, the next thing I want to ask you about is worry and attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that, you know, a lot of us spend time worrying about how, if we're going to get that promotion, or if this, you know, project is going to work out, or, you know, is this book going to do well, or is this business going to work out? And can you tell us a little bit about this, you know, the path and the connection with the true self? And, you know, so much of the Bhagavad Gita is about that. It's, you know, I love there's a line where it says, you know, throw yourself into the din of battle and do not worry about results.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, you know, we're connecting to the actions, but mm-hmm. not the results, which isn't always so easy to do.
Well, as a part of the insecurity that we feel living in the world, we are not always comfortable with risk. And so, you know, a little bit of risk can create fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually fail to have a productive strategy toward taking risk in life. As we start to connect with the higher self, we gain more confidence in ourselves. and we feel stronger within, and that tends to reflect on the way that we confront risk. We don't see ourselves as potentially losing.
Mm-hmm.
We see ourselves as being able to manage failure and success and growth and setbacks, and we see it as a natural product of our life. And so I think that there is destructive worry when we're obsessing about fears, and they tend to be worst-case scenarios that really never happen.
Exactly.
I did this. I played a little game with myself a number of years ago, and I found that I was always creating worst-case scenarios in my mind. And I said, you know, I'm really creating suffering for myself. And so I'm a journaler. And I started tracking my worst-case scenarios. So I would have something come up in my mind, and I would write down this worst-case scenario. And then I would flip forward a few pages in my journal. I would say, see page such and such. How did it work out? And I would go back. Never happened. A whole journal book, 1 year. About 30 worst-case scenarios, not a single one ever happened.
Mm.
And I just laughed. And I said, this is my mind deceiving me. And from that point forward, it's like a worst-case scenario comes up, and I just laugh.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
I've proven to myself that the mind is just creating these catastrophes that don't ever manifest.
And we focus on them, and it pulls us out of that moment.
And again, and again, and again.
Yes.
And that's the problem. If we could just do it once and learn from it, no big deal. But we do it to ourselves again and again. And it's this cycle, this repeating cycle, that really needs to be broken.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this speaks very well, Kimberly, to daily meditation. Because daily meditation is a reset for these mm-hmm. kinds of things. Don't you find it so?
Always.
And so your mind may start on something, but then you have that period of meditation, and it kind of resets you, and you move into this healthier space.
Yes.
And gradually, as you keep this meditation practice in your daily life, it starts to gain traction over your thought patterns. And then gradually, those negative worry habits start to kind of weaken and fade away. It happens quicker than we think. And we haven't even done any processing. We're just concentrating on our practice.
I think that's the most important skill that I've learned ever is
really?
To meditate deeper and deeper, mm-hmm. to go into that intuition, to get out of the worry, mm-hmm. and also to reframe things, brother. You know, for me, I'll use myself as an example. You know, in the past, this is my sixth book. There's this like anxiety, like how's the book going to do leading up? And whatever book I'm writing. And of course I want, we will the best. We want the best. But I know two things. I know number one, that I really wrote my best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I put my full energy into it in terms of service mm-hmm. too. And, I feel like if we do the best and we keep that service principle in mind, mm-hmm. we're good. So whether it does well or it does bad, my identity isn't in this outside stuff.
Yeah.
I can really feel good about the energy with which I created.
Yes.
So that takes out a lot of the like over anxiety about results.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if, we're not always creating from pureness, we're trying to like get you back to getting stuff from the outside. It's getting the validation, getting the, so we're focusing on the result from the start versus the pureness of motive, the pureness of the heart. Then I think that, of course, influences things.
Well, you're speaking to motives, and motive becomes a very powerful force going forward for either producing misery or producing happiness. So if you want to be a bestseller just for the fame and the money, then, you're watching the score constantly and you're worrying about it and it's taking you up and down and up and down. But if you're in it for the service, you're in it for the love and sharing, then it's like my audience is going to be there.
Right.
Whether it's big, whether it's small, they're going to be my people who get my message. And those are the hearts I want to connect with. Now, that has a certain security about it, doesn't it?
Yes.
And there's a purity of motive there. And I think, again, if we're connecting with the higher self, especially in meditation, I like what you said in your book about the gaps.
Yes.
There's the gaps. We have this constant inner conversation going on. And the conversation is not something we have learned how to control. And so it takes us different directions. But if we can start to establish some gaps in that conversation, I call it the quiet mind. And I love my quiet mind. And every time I start to see that I'm kind of being jerked around a little bit by my thoughts or my emotional reactions, I use my willpower to go into my quiet mind. And everything just kind of heals itself. And I start to feel the insecurity fading. I start to feel all the worries kind of weakening. And pretty soon, I'm in a healthy space. And I think that if we can learn to do this for ourselves, we start to find that we have this immortal resource that's always with us. And it is our higher self. It is our true who we are.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a source of strength.
Well, we're always out here and we're always trying to have things work out and control. You know, for me, when I started to cross over into this, you know, higher level of non-attachment or whatever you want to say, there's an element of trust. We trust, you know, like you were saying, brother, the right people are going to find your project or going to find your website or whatever it is that you're working on. What would you say to someone who has a little bit of a difficulty trusting? Trust can be a tricky thing for people where it's not, you know, so hard facts on a piece of paper, but, you know, this experience and trust, especially if they've, you know, had people betray them in life. And trust is a dicey subject.
Well, it is. And I mean, when you think of someone, well, for example, I tell the congregation here at Lake Shrine that I was born suspicious. And so I was, when as a young man, I was very distrustful of the world and of people and things like that. And people would say something to me and I would say, yeah, right. It wasn't cynical because I wasn't old enough to be cynical, but I was headed in that direction. And then I started on a spiritual path and started discovering things. And I think a spiritual search, that is, for something greater than myself, and having my discoveries resonate with my needs. It's like there's that sympathetic connection where you always wanted to understand something and it starts to unfold for you. So I went into my spiritual search with a lot of questions, and I'd had no expectation that any of them would be answered. And then the questions started being answered. And then I started having my own experience that confirmed, and all of a sudden I started to trust. So I think that if someone is very insecure in their trust of the world or their self-trust, if they would just engage in a little discovery process based on looking for truth, that is truth, not just believing what people tell you, but believing what resonates with you. So keep reading, keep searching. For example, if you like this podcast and you're thinking, wow, I can connect with that. Okay, that's a starting point. Maybe start your trust there and say, well, these two people are talking about something that seems so authentic and real to me. Let me investigate. And then with your open mind and your open heart and, you know, your discrimination, you're saying, is this good for me? Do I want to believe this? When I was reading Autobiography of a Yogi, it's full of miracles.
Right.
You know, all this amazing stuff. And you get partway into it and you say, wow, this is, I don't know if I can believe all this. And so I put the book down when I was in the middle of reading it for the first time. And after I put it down, I said, you know, I don't know if I believe it, but I really want to believe it. There's something in me that just wants to believe that everything that is being said here is true. So I think that desire to want to trust, I think that's an important launching pad.
And then you went to your own experience. How did you cross into that trust?
It was, you know, I got to a point where I said, I don't know if I believe in God, G-O-D, God, but I see that Yogananda is telling me that, you know, God is not some distant monarch in the universe, but God is cosmic consciousness. And cosmic consciousness is everywhere, and it's bliss, which is great joy. And so I found myself praying, which I'd never prayed before.
Mm.
And it was a soul call. I like to teach about prayer as a soul call. That is a call that comes from within. It's like, I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired of being deceived. I'm tired of being betrayed. I want to know some truth that I can trust. And so my soul call was, you know, God, if you are God and you do exist and you are bliss, prove it. And this went on for several weeks, very intense.
Mm.
And then I received my answer. And God,
in your heart.
Well, no, God actually showed me bliss.
Wow.
And there was a wonderful transporting of my being. And I felt this joy and happiness that I'd never felt before, and it just went on increasing.
Wow.
There's more to it that I could share at another time, but essentially it was a powerful confirmation that it does exist. And I found that the meditation that Paramahansa Yogananda teaches takes me back to that. So I would say this, that meditation done in the right way will take you to the happiest moments of your life, and then it will grow from there.
Mm.
So,
how much are you in bliss now, brother? I mean, you know, as a human, and you know, someone who's deeply in the work,
right,
and very calm, powerful, wise person. But you know, just is it? You know,
it's a foundation.
We're having a human experience too.
It's a foundation of what Yogananda calls cosmic feeling. It's a beautiful term. I've always loved it because, you know, who understands feeling? It comes and it goes. It's very nebulous. But there is this universal cosmic feeling that grows from within you. And ever since that demonstration, or let's call it for me, a revelation.
Yes.
It's always been there, and it kind of comes and goes almost like a tide. So it's like a tide comes in, and you just feel this fullness of being, and it just overwhelms you. And then the kind of the tide goes out.
Yes.
And you don't feel it so strongly, but you know it's there.
Mm.
So it has created a very mystical dimension to my life that I treasure, and I don't often talk about, but it's something that, you know, it's a resource that's always there.
I like how you say the word resource. Let's say you get caught up in the business or like the everyday stuff of just, you know, being around all the organizational parts, and you start to find yourself getting like, oh, there's so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, you know, when you find yourself maybe getting a little, I mean, I don't know if you ever get frazzled, brother, but, you know, whatever your version of that is, coming back in.
Yes.
Checking into this resource, anchoring back in.
Exactly. And that's what we learn to do. Because if we are always engaged outwardly, there's something that we lose. We kind of lose our center there. And I can feel it. And I kind of know my own personal chemistry. And so I actually, this is funny, but I actually calendar my weeks planning for this. So I say yes and no to commitments based on my knowledge of myself and my spiritual needs, you might say. I never have enough of the, you know, the time of solitude for myself. But Paramahansa Yogananda says that if you really want to cultivate this inner part of yourself, you need to dedicate time, a little bit of time to it, and learn to treasure it. So, for example, late in the evening is a special time for me, and I have time for meditation. And then I'll sit and journal a little bit, and I'll read some inspirational words of my guru. And this becomes a kind of a renewing ritual for me in my 24-hour period. And I do not allow life to take that away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't allow it. And I have found it to be very empowering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that we have to justify and say, oh, maybe I deserve this or maybe I don't. I would say to all the podcast listeners, you do deserve this.
Yes.
You do deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you to claim it. And when you do, it will change you forever.
It really will. I can say that from personal experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, brother, this term, this term, guru. Sometimes people, again, when I first heard it, I was a little bit, you know, confused. You know, sometimes, you know, there's all kinds of things out there like cults and all these things. And then I realized the Sanskrit word means, you know, going from darkness to light.
That's beautiful.
And so, you know, whether someone's, you know, ready to use that term or not, you know, my husband, for instance, you know, reads the teachings of Yogananda. He's learning to meditate, but he, you know, he's not, he doesn't see that term specifically. And I think going back to the oneness and the universality, these teachings are, you know, connecting with the higher self, finding that stillness, using these practices to tune in are really useful, practical to everyone, whether or not they're going to say that term or not. So I wouldn't ever want that to be a stumbling block mm-hmm. for people, but just to, again, realize we're talking about tapping into that cosmic, you know, bliss, that cosmic intelligence that runs through everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could call the guru a spiritual mentor. I think mentoring is a very popular concept these days, and we're always looking for someone who knows more than we do to be able to learn and become expert at something. And if you're seeking to discover your higher self, it's a very esoteric form of knowledge and awakening. The guru then becomes a spiritual mentor and is right there for us, because there is a communication that takes place not only through the teachings themselves, that is the writings and all that, the scripture, we might call it, but it's also through the meditation and the inner experience that you have in meditation, where you can feel that that knowledge is alive, that that presence is there to help guide you. So the spiritual mentor has everything that a human in the flesh mentor, professional mentor, or a life coach, or whatever that you really respect. The guru is all that and much more on a very esoteric level. And you find that as you walk the path that has been defined by the guru, that so much opens up within you, and you find actually you're receiving coaching on a very transcendental level.
That's right.
Yeah, so I think it applies to our life as we live it right now. It's not something that's mystical and off in the clouds. It's something that's, you know, very real. And it has to do with the daily life that we walk. And when you feel that happiness coming from within, you feel the words of the scripture brought by the guru coming alive in your daily life, you realize that there is a living guidance that's there for you.
Yes.
And this is so comforting and reassuring, because you think, you know, we think we know, but we don't.
We don't know, no.
Yes.
And I'll also say, brother, that one of the gurus of the path is Jesus. And again, growing up, I liked what I was hearing about, but I didn't feel that deep connection. And now through meditation, you know, when I read the Bible, when I you know, connect with the expansive, unlimited, unconditional love of Jesus, I feel like it's guiding me more than ever before.
That's beautiful.
So it goes back to that oneness of, you know, truth is truth. Whatever form we resonate with, however we were raised, it doesn't really matter if it's taking us to that love and that oneness.
Well, Jesus is on our altar, and Krishna, Bhagavan Krishna also, because Guruji said that it's those two, you know, historic prophets that brought a living message for the East and the West. So he saw these two individual lives as representatives of the same truth, East and West,
yes,
in our world. And it speaks to the Sanatan Dharma, which is the full circle here in our conversation, that experience is the proof. And so he took the scripture from the Bible, specifically the words of Jesus, and he takes the scripture from the Bhagavad Gita, specifically the words of Krishna, and says, here are two spiritual masters, and they are, in essence, teaching the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this teaching is based not on the doctrines of the churches. It's not based on the dogmas or the rituals. It's based on the personal perception. And it becomes a thrilling experience when you start to read. You know, it can be Buddha, it can be Christ, it can be Krishna, it can be, you know, any revelation that's been given of truth, and you realize they are saying the same thing.
They're saying the same thing. Well, brother, I could talk to you forever. Thank you so much, brother, for being here with us today. I, as always, am so, so grateful for your counsel, for your presence. So thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
All right, my loves, I hope that you enjoyed this interview today as much as I deeply enjoyed, you know, conducting the interview, being able to sit with brother, being able to sit and talk about these really important topics, which have the power to shape and refine our entire lives. Please head over to mysaluna.com to get more information about brother and the work that Self-Realization Fellowship is doing. Please check out lakeshrine.org and also yogananda-srf.org, where you will get more information about Guruji Yogananda and this life-changing work. Also, I'll say it lastly, one more time, please pre-order the book today. You are more than you think you are. And you will read the first few chapters today, including the very special way in which I found these teachings and more background about Yogananda, and also get right into the teachings that have the ability to change your, profoundly change your whole life starting today. The information is also at mysaluna.com. So with much love and with much gratitude, I will sign off here now, and I will see you back here Thursday for our next Q&A podcast. Till then, take great care and so much love. Namaste.